Able to some Bible commentaries. Now, that may not be your idea of relaxation, but for me, it certainly was. And one of the commentaries that I was reading was the Jewish Gospel of John. And I was reminded yet again in that particular gospel about the way that Jesus willingly is led, but is willing to face every encounter. And when he is taken to the cross, he goes willingly. And that is particularly in John's gospel when he is on his throne. Now, it may seem an odd song to be singing at the start of a service, that after we've just been rejoicing in Jesus as that cornerstone, that we should sing a song called Lead Me to the Cross. But that's part of the willingness that we have. And so let's join together and now sing Lead Me to the Cross.
Oh, out in prayer. Ever-present God, join with us, please. Ever-present God, bless us now as we open ourselves to stories that are sometimes difficult and which hold tensions, lies and rivalry. May we wander through them to an open heart, to the ways that your presence, truth and love we see. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to look at some of our patriarchs this morning and some of their families. Hence that prayer, not everything is perfect, and it might just encourage you. I'm going to ask my friend to come and sit with me. This is about Isaac and Rebecca. We have any Rebeccas here tonight? Woo! This is the person you were probably looking for. Any Isaacs? Listen carefully, though. You might hear another name somewhere in the story that might help you. Rebecca had many friends. They liked to meet together as often as they could. Whenever they met, they talked about all kinds of things. And sometimes they told each other stories. One day, Rebecca was with some of her friends, and one of them asked her a question.
Rebecca, how did you meet your husband, Isaac?
Oh, it was a funny story. Then she told the story of how she met Isaac. One day, she said, I went to the well to get water for my home.
But you always go to get water from the well. What was different on that day?
Well, you know that usually it's only women who go to get the water. But on this day, when I went to the well, there was a man there.
A man at the well? How unusual. Was the man at the well Isaac? Is that where you met, at the well?
Oh, no. No, it wasn't Isaac at the well. Just calm down and sit down, and I'll tell you everything. Her friends all sat down and leaned a little bit closer to hear what she had to say. The man at the well was the servant of Isaac's father. He said to me, please give me a little water from your jar to drink. So I put my jar deep into the well, lifted up some water and gave him some. I knew that the man had come from somewhere far away and he looked very thirsty. So I said to him, drink this water, and I will also water your camels. That's when the funny thing happened. The man told me that God had given him a vision that he would meet a woman who would say, drink this water, and I will also water your camels.
But that's exactly what you said. The man had a vision from God about you.
Yes. He knew the vision was about me when I said those words. The servant said that God had told him when he met this woman, he should ask the woman if she would come and meet Isaac.
So, what did you do?
Well, at first I thought about it. Then I went back home and asked my family what they thought. They all thought that since this was a vision from God, that perhaps I should. So I agreed to go with him. Rebecca told her friends that she said goodbye to her family. She shared that they travelled using camels, the very same camel that Rebecca had given water to earlier. When they arrived in the new land, Rebecca could see a man in the field walking towards her.
So was that Isaac?
Ah, yes, that was Isaac. We met and we fell in love. A little while later, we got married.
Oh, how wonderful.
So that's how Isaac and I met. Then after I married Isaac, I also got to meet all of you and have so many good friends.
What a great story.
So now Isaac and I have had many happy years together, and I'm thankful to God and to the servant for that day at the well. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
I thought that it might be a good idea if we looked back at some of our patriarchs, I'll call them, and put them into a family tree, just so that we know who's who. How many people know all about these people? But I'm going to start and put up the first name and see if I can get some help with the others. Okay, the first one's Abraham. Now you should put Abraham up here. But he can't be there by himself. He needs somebody else to be there with him.
Sarah.
We got any Sarahs here today? Okay. Abraham and Sarah. Abraham and Sarah had a child. Remember, God promised them that they'd have a child. But you know, Abraham was a bit like us. He was a bit impatient. He couldn't wait. So, although God had promised him a large family, he and Hagar had a child, Ishmael. Is that a familiar story? If you think about going back to Messy Mother's Day, we had one of the activities. We had some decorated biscuits, didn't we, beautiful ladies, about Hagar and Ishmael. But God promised Abraham and Sarah some children, lots and lots of children, and they Isaac. I can hear little voices. And the little voices are saying the right thing. That's pretty encouraging. They had Isaac. Isaac married Rebecca. You just heard it, I think. Isaac and Rebecca, they're not terribly straight, these. That's because I don't have somebody to do it for me. Isaac and Rebecca had some children.
Jacob and Esau.
Jacob and Esau. That's when the trouble started. Something special about Esau and Jacob.
Twins.
Esau and...
Twins.
Twins. What sort of twins?
Non-identical.
They were very different. And you'll hear a little bit in a minute about being different. Jacob had 12 sons. We won't go into all his wives and families. 12 sons. One of those sons was very, very special.
Joseph.
Sometimes it takes a long time to get an answer. Now we're starting to get tricky, and there's people here who should know this. Joseph had some sons. Manasseh and another one. Okay, so that's where they fit in. There's a few other people, but we don't need those on our family tree. You can look as you go through and see God worked through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, and down through Jacob's sons.
Now we come to the interaction between Esau and Isaac, where Isaac takes the birthright. Jacob, Esau, and the birthright. That's the title, that's the correct title. God promised Abram, and later his son Isaac, that a great nation would come from them. They would have many descendants. Isaac and Rebekah were married for 20 years before they had children. I love this next slide. You've got to be graphic nowadays. Finally, Rebecca became pregnant. And guess what? She was to have twins. But there was a problem. Rebecca could feel the twins fighting inside her. She did not like that at all. So asked God about it. The Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the other will serve the younger. When the twins were born, they were very different from one another. The first boy was red and very hairy. When he was first born, and they named him Esau. Isaac liked Esau the best. The second boy was born right after the first one in fact, he was holding his brother's heel when he was born. And his parents named him Jacob. Jacob's skin was very soft and smooth. Rebecca liked Jacob the best. Rebecca's, or the parents, should love each child and not have favourites. But Isaac and Rebecca were not good parents in this way. As he grew, Esau loved to be outside and was a very good hunter. His father Isaac loved to eat the tasty meat from the animals Esau caught. Esau was his father's favourite son. Jacob was quieter and enjoyed working around home. His mother, Rebecca, loved him the best. One day, Jacob was cooking some stew at home. Esau had been out hunting, and when he returned, he was very hungry. "Jacob, give me some of that red stew," begged Esau. "I'm starved." "Not unless you sell me your birthright," said Jacob. "Birthright? If I die, my birthright won't do me any good," said Esau. "And I'm just about to die. Surely I will give you my birthright if you give me some stew." So after Esau promised to sell his birthright to Jacob, Jacob brought him beans, stew, bread, and something to drink. Esau thought he had made a good trade, but really, Jacob was the one who got the better deal. Jacob had played a mean trick on his brother. Because, you see, he was the oldest. Esau would have received special treatment when his father died. To have the birthright was a very special privilege and duty. He would be in charge of many things. But Esau did not take it seriously. He gave all that away for some stew. Esau had given up his birthright to his younger brother, but there was something else that was very special in a family of that time. The father of the family would give a special blessing to his son. In the blessing, the father would say he would get the most respect and who would be the leader of the family. He would give good wishes of wealth, power, and safety for his son's future. When Isaac was very old, he called Esau, his oldest and favourite son, to him and said, "I am going to give you the special family blessing today. Go and hunt for some wild game to cook the tasty food that you and I so much like to eat. We will eat together and then I will bless you." But someone else overheard what Isaac was saying. Remember how we said Esau was Isaac's favourite son and Jacob was Rebekah's favourite son? Well, Rebekah did not want Esau to have the blessing. She wanted her favourite son, Jacob, to get the blessing instead of Esau. Rebekah decided to trick her husband. She called Jacob to her so that they could plan together. Jacob should have stopped his mother, but he went right along with the plan. Rebekah told Jacob that he would trick Isaac. They would need to fool him into thinking that Jacob was Esau so that he would give him the blessing instead. Here's how the plan worked. First, she told Jacob to go and kill two goats so that she could prepare them just the way Isaac liked. Isaac would eat the goats and think they were wild game that Esau had hunted. Next, they had to make Jacob's smooth skin feel like his hairy brother's skin. Rebecca put goat skins on Jacob's arms and neck so that Isaac would feel them and think it was the hairy Esau. She also put Esau's clothes on Jacob. All of this should fool Isaac because Isaac was old and blind. So when Jacob went to his father's tent, his father could not see that it was Jacob. He wasn't sure, so he asked to feel Jacob's hands. When he felt the goat skin, he thought it was Esau's hairy hands. When he tasted the goat meat, he thought it was the wild game Esau had hunted. When he smelt Esau's clothes on Jacob, he really thought it was his oldest son. Isaac had been tricked. So Isaac gave his blessing to Jacob. This was so important that the one blessing had to be spoken and it could not be taken back. He said, "Many nations serve you, may the nations serve you, and people bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." Isaac had just finished giving his blessing to Jacob when Esau came in from hunting. He fixed some tasty food just like his father had asked and took it to his father so that he could receive the blessing. "Who are you?" asked his father. Then he realized that he had been deceived. "Someone else has already hunted an animal and brought it to me. I blessed him, and the blessing cannot be changed." Isaac was very sad and angry. His own son had deceived him. Esau became very angry and begged his father to bless him too. "Jacob tricked me 2 times, Esau cried. "First he took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Esau was so angry that he decided to kill Jacob once his father died. When Rebekah heard about Esau's plans, she sent Jacob to stay with her brother Laban until Esau calmed down. She told Isaac that Jacob would find a wife there. Everyone in the family was hurt because Rebekah and Esau decided to lie and trick Isaac. We bring that story now into a setting for today. Tricking someone is called deceit. And this is what the Bible says about deceit. It's from the first letter of Peter, chapter 2. "So then, get rid of all evil and all lying. Do not be a hypocrite. Do not be jealous or speak evil of others. Put all things, these things, out of your life." So let's just pause for a moment. Reflect on that and reflect on our own lives. It's one thing to hear a story. It's another thing when we bring some of those settings and situations into our own life. So let's share a confession. Let's say this together. Loving God,
forgive us, we have done bad things or wrong. Help us not to be hypocritical. May we not be jealous or speak evil of others. Help us to put all these things out of our life.
One thing to say it, and then And it's a more beautiful thing, I believe, to hear that we've been heard by God and we have been forgiven. So Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you your sins, and keep you in eternal life.
Amen. Okay, now I need some helpers. I thought this would be a good chance to have two teams of people to come and answer some questions. Okay, these two teams are the ones who answer. If you know the answer and they don't, you can sneak up and whisper it to them. The first lot are true or false, so that's nice and easy. Jacob and Esau shared the birthright since they were twins.
Not.
Okay, 1 point. Jacob, you can remember the 1 point. Esau's birthright was something he had to wait for.
True.
Okay, Deb, you can get the points for that too. Jacob valued his birthright more than Esau.
True.
True. Okay. Jacob tricked Esau.
True.
True. Did he trick Esau?
Yes.
And he tricked somebody else. And his dad too. Okay, fair enough. Esau was able to get his birthright back.
False.
Okay, how many points, Janet?
Two.
Two. How many points?
Three.
Okay. Now, these are not true or false, so these might be a little bit hard. Ready for the whistle still? Who were Isaac and Rebekah's sons?
Esau and Jacob.
Right, good. That's a point to you. Esau and Jacob different? Now I've got four answers for this. How do they differ?
One was hairy and one was smooth.
Yeah, okay, that's one point.
One liked hunting and the other liked working hard.
Okay, that's 2 points. Anything different?
Brown hair.
3 points. Was clever and one was strong, I don't know. Have you got anything to add?
One was written by mum, one was written by dad.
Okay.
They had different
names.
Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched, and he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked him, "What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip.
Thank you. This story is a long, long time later when Jacob's coming back to his family. The story about fighting, some versions of the Bible say an angel, some versions of the Bible say God. I'd like you to think, adults and children, at the moment, imagine you're a great painter, a great artist. Nothing is a problem. You just paint and it comes out beautifully. How would you paint Jacob wrestling with God?
With a brush.
That would be amazing. But some people use their fingers too. What would you do if you were painting it? Who'd like to tell us how they think they might paint that? Not many adventurous people here. Emily? Okay, well, let me show you how some other people have done it. This is a very famous painting. If you can't see it, you might like to move where you can. This is Rembrandt. You might have heard of him. And this is how he's drawn it. Looks to me like the angel is jumping up. You can see the wings there. It does look a bit like they're dancing. I didn't expect that comment, I must say. But that was done in 1659. Wow, how long ago would that have been painted? Who's good at maths?
460 years.
Oh, I can see these computers working. 300 and something, any closer than that? 350. Okay, so it's a long time for painting to last. So somebody's done that and it's been well looked after. This one's a little bit older, not too much, and it looks when you get up close like it's all done with tiny lines, little pencils. So the angel looks much bigger than Jacob. Yes, it is a bit like Rebecca was saying, isn't it, with the big white angel. Now, this is a tricky one. It's hard to see, but you can see down in the left-hand corner that this one is where they're wrestling. But look at how much background is in it. So, really, that's only a little bit of that story. Here's another one, looked a bit like the other one. Notice these are all done in the 1800s. It's a long time ago. Looks like it might have matched the one before. This one's a bit interesting because suddenly it's quite different. Again, the angel and Jacob are little and all the people around are watching. Did it say in the story there were lots of people watching? I didn't hear that in the story. Now, time for singing.
we go. Another day in this paradise we call our home, this place we're blessed to live in. Overnight you washed it clean and now you're drying it freshly for us to look at, to absorb, to enjoy. Thank you for creating it. You have truly blessed us. We come before you today humbled by this your creation. We offer our prayers and thanks to you for all we have, all we would like to have, and all we would like to know. Father, we thank you for the world, the whole world. You created it for us to take care of. Sadly, many of us forget this and damage, even destroy it. Give us the time to keep this your creation more passionately. We thank you for a world with such diversity, both in the natural world and in our own world. We thank you that we live in a country that tries hard to honour your example of all people being equal under your sight. Encourage us to all be more proactive rather than reactive in how we treat our fellow man, our neighbours, and even our enemies, and maybe even our relatives, including our animals. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, we pray for peace in our world. We know that world peace is something that may not be achievable, but give all people in all parts of the world opportunities to show that peace and goodwill are not kept for one time of the year, rather that they are principles all of us can aspire to look forward to seeing happen. We pray for the areas of the world where conflict makes us difficult. Father, watch over your children in these places. Places where sometimes even brother goes up against brother. Keep them all from harm. Guide governments to strive to make positive differences rather than use selfish ambition in the way they rule. We pray for our governments, federal, state and local, that they will all work for us and with us in honesty and integrity. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, your family here at HTK are truly blessed that you are in our lives. Walk with us, Father, as we go through each day. Place in our way opportunities to share you with our friends, our neighbours, and even our family members who haven't got to know you yet. Allow us to fulfil your desire for us by using the gifts and talents you have placed in us to do your work. Reveal to us how we can best use these gifts and talents, whether they be in the things we do for others, the things we do here around HTK, your place, the things we give, our time, our experience, our resources, our love. Guide us and strengthen us to do your will. We thank you and pray for our leadership team, for Bob and Christine and their safe return, refreshed and renewed, and also for the other retired clergy, our wardens, our parish council, our small group leaders, as well as all the rest of your family here at HTK. We are all leaders, charged by you to take our faith into the world in whatever way we are able. Father, we continue to pray for Philip, our Archbishop, as he prayerfully considers the selection for our next rector. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, some of your children, even some of your children here at HTK, are struggling at the moment. Care and comfort all those who are finding life difficult, whether it be from physical, emotional, or any other sort of trouble. Lay your hand of healing on each shoulder that needs that touch that only you can bring to them. Lead carers and supporters into the paths of those who need most help. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Father, Father, this is a day that you, our Lord, has made. Let us rejoice, let us be glad, and let us be thankful for your presence in our lives. Without you, we are nothing. With you, we can achieve anything. Guide and strengthen us to leave our HTK family this morning and go out to other families and communities we will touch base with this week. Let this be a time of sharing and caring, of bridge building and bridge repairing. Let us be the best version of you we can be as we go through this week. Let us be the face, the voice, and the heart of Christ to the people we will meet. Let us leave you on the hearts of others through who we are to them. We thank you, Father. We ask you to accept these, your children's prayers, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us all to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
According to our Saviour's word,
In remembrance of his suffering and death, they share his body and blood. On the night that he died, Jesus took bread. And when he had given you thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup. And again, giving you thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." So may we who share these gifts be renewed by your Holy Spirit and united in the body of your Son. So we break this bread. We who are many are one body.
For you all share in one body.
So draw near with faith the feed on Christ in your hearts, reply thanksgiving.
Amen.
Now I've got a little job for you guys. I want you to go and find the members of your family, and when you come forward, bring them before me. So let's pray. To share the body and blood of Christ, and remember that he died for us, and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. The grace. Let's stand. We're almost in a circle today. We can arrange that. We can arrange a complete circle, can we? And let's say the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
hear the microphone here, but there it is.
Go in the peace of the Lord. Go in the peace of love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.